Welcome to the Christian Ministries Church Podcast. We're glad you've joined us to listen to a message from our pastor, Ashley Ellison. We believe God's Word is powerful and that it can be applied to our lives so we may live victoriously. Let's join Pastor Ashley now as he shares the Word with us.
Well, welcome to church. I hope y'all had a good Thanksgiving. Anybody eat too much? Some of you. The rest of you, just keep it to yourself, because the rest of us, we're happy about it. So now we've got to work on getting rid of what we just ate. So anyway, so I've got a mission every day of my life. And I'm just continuing today on talking about the mission that we are called to live in, to proclaim the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is here. We've been proclaiming that as Christians for 2,000 years. And we are also, as we proclaim it, we're to demonstrate that the kingdom of heaven is in our life, here on earth, and a part of us as we operate in the body of Christ. Now, when you stand up for Jesus in any area of life, you stand up for the truth. Come on, you stand up for the Word. They're all the same, Jesus, truth, the Word. And you end up, oftentimes, when you stand up for Him, being the recipient of persecution. And Jesus tells us that even though man may persecute you, don't be surprised. Even though it happens, don't be surprised. Be able to live the mission without fear of man. It says, and we've talked about this, but fear God, who's way more powerful than man. Jesus has been laying out the fact in Matthew 10, and if you have your Bibles, you can turn there, that there may be trouble, but take heart, Jesus is here. He showed up. He was sent by God, and now He is telling us, you're sent by Me. You see how that works? And you need to know, as Father God took care of Jesus, He's going to take care of us. So don't live in fear of what's going on in our world. Jesus was just preparing them for conflict that will come. And I just want you to know that we caught a glimpse of that just a few years ago during the COVID issues that we faced all across the world. And I have said, and I'm going to continue to say, that I believe that was just a dress rehearsal for what's to come. And if you're not trained up, if you're not ready to hear what Jesus had to say, I'm telling you, when conflict comes, you won't know how to handle it. And I'm just not going to be the pastor who's not bold enough to tell you, you better get ready. You better get ready. The gospel oftentimes brings the conflict of this world, and it doesn't always bring the comfort outwardly. See, I believe the greatest challenge that we have, and you can write this down if you're taking notes because this is important, the greatest challenge we have for following Jesus is our love for comfort and convenience. I mean, it's a challenge, especially in America. We love comfort and convenience. And I'm just as guilty as anyone. Everything that is made now is for our comfort and convenience. It just makes life better in all of those areas. Fast food life, the drive-thrus, grocery shopping now delivered to your door. We don't even realize what you can't even get from the grocery store delivered to your door now. You just Amazon, 2 days later, here it is. If you got Prime, it's the next day. We can sit on our couch and say, hey, Alexa, turn the air down. Is that not crazy? We can't get up to turn the air down. Used to, at least, we had the kids get up and change the channel. The kids were getting some exercise. We just have to say it. Our culture has made this not only acceptable, but actually sought after. The comforts and conveniences. Sadly, since so much of this has bled into our daily life, it has now bled over into our spiritual life. See, to where we pick churches based on which one's the most convenient and makes us feel the most comfortable. That's Christianity in America. Now, that's not anybody here today, because for weeks I've been challenging you with what Jesus said. And if you're still here, praise God. Because the word's challenging. And it's tough. See, Christianity is not a faith of convenience and comfort. It's a faith of conviction and calling. It's not a faith to coddle our comfort and convenience. It's a faith where we stand on the convictions of God's word, and it's a calling out of the world we live into another life. That's what it is. And that's what Christianity is all about. Jesus is challenging our idea of what it means to follow Jesus. The call to follow Jesus is to abandon an old way of life. And when you do it, I want you to know it's the best call you'll ever make. But you have to know that you'll always have to fight the world's view of what's better. The conveniences, the comforts, it's luring. It's one of those things that, oh man, I mean, I sit down in a massage chair at Menards. I need it. Why? Because it felt good, it was comfortable, and I can just ride in my own living room, just sit there and get. Yeah. What a day. I didn't buy it, by the way, because I was preparing this message. I'm not even asking for it. Matthew 10, verse 32. Jesus says, Everyone who acknowledges me publicly here on earth, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But everyone who denies me here on earth, I will also deny before my Father in heaven. Come on, church, these are some strong words here. Because here on earth, we always try to be liked by everyone. And sometimes we keep our mouth shut that we're a Christian. And what he's saying, it's going to be tough at times to open your mouth and stand up for me. It's going to be tough. But he continues, Matthew 10, 34. Don't imagine that I came to bring peace to the earth. I came not to bring peace, but a sword. This verse is not taught on a lot. It's hard. Why? Because it conflicts in our minds about what most people's thought of who Jesus is, or what our culture has pointed out that Jesus should look like. Culture sees Jesus as this guy who's just walking around saying, peace to everyone. Kind of an old hippie. Peace to everyone. Peace, peace, peace. Like a cross-legged guy on a mountaintop. That's the picture. This verse messes with that image. I didn't come to bring peace. I came to bring a sword. Whew. What in the world does that mean? Well, let's talk about this verse for a little bit. There are three statements here in this verse that you've got to see. As God just unfolded this and really shared with me some of what was happening here, he says, first off, I came. Don't imagine that I came. Other translations say, I have come. No one had ever made that claim before. Yeah. I came to earth. Now, people say, I was born to. But he said, I was born. Jesus is saying, I've made a choice to come from heaven to earth here. You have to see this statement and how big it is. Philippians 2, verse 6. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. See, there was a coming that just the pathway here that we're getting ready to celebrate for Christmas, the pathway here was a birth, but that birth is not his origination. He is speaking to the power of who he is. He existed before he was born. His words carry weight because he's God and he's telling them, I came by choice. I came by choice. It's such a powerful claim. And you need to know that because this is God in the flesh making a major statement here. And he says, I didn't come to bring peace. Well, Pastor, this is hard for me. Because I know, isn't he called the Prince of Peace? And if you're not careful, you'll see this as a conflict. What do you mean he didn't come to bring peace? Explain that. Okay, I will. Many people will see this and think Jesus came to bring peace in every situation, in every angle of your life. He came to bring an internal peace. Not always an external peace. See, it's not necessarily everything around you. Peace will never be in your life outside until you have a peace inside. Jesus will give you a peace inside, and the world may see a life that just is in disaster and turmoil, and they're looking at you and go, how are you dealing with all of this? You just act like it's peace in your life. How? It's internal. There's an internal peace. That's who he came to be, is the Prince of Peace for you internally. And we'll explain this because it's really deep here. See, the only time world peace will come is when Jesus comes and builds his kingdom here on earth. That's coming. But until then, world peace doesn't happen. Inner peace is available all day, every day, all the time. And we're trying to get an inner peace based on an outward circumstance. And Jesus came so that he could bypass the outward circumstance and get to you internally. John 14, 27. I'm leaving you with a gift. What's the gift? Peace. Peace of mind and of heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled. Don't be afraid. Why would he say don't be troubled or be afraid? Right. Because he came. Yeah. That's why he said, I'm giving this to you where? In your heart. I'm giving it to you in your heart. Your mind don't have to live all troubled. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mind gets taken care of. And if the abundance is Jesus, then peace overwhelms who you are. Well, I just don't know if I'm going to make it till tomorrow. Get Jesus, you can. Peace of heart and mind. The world cannot rob you of what Jesus came to give unless you let it. Philippians 4, verse 6. Don't worry about anything. Great verse. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he's done. After you do that, because it says then, you will experience God's peace. It's then that you will experience. It's only then that you experience peace, which exceeds anything you can understand. His peace will guard what? Your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Come on, we've got to get this because we are out here preaching in Christianity that God provides peace to everything in your life. No, he brings peace to everything inside of your being so that the things outside of your life don't ruin that. Well, it's a big statement. It's just peace the world can't explain. Christians have been sold the wrong bill of goods. And I've been sold that myself. I've said in many sermons that really never taught this principle. They think every circumstance should change outwardly because of Jesus. Now I'm telling you, there are circumstances that change outwardly because of Jesus. So don't get in the ditch here. Sometimes I kind of preach in the ditch a little. But you have to hear my heart here. Actually, you need to hear Jesus' heart. What changes is on the inside of you regardless of what's happening outside. Christianity actually at times invites chaos. It's kind of sad. But inside it invites peace. Are you seeing this in Matthew 10? What we've been outside, yeah, there's some chaos, but inside there should be peace. He didn't say, I came to bring you circumstantial peace or even relational peace. That's not what he's talking about here. He came to give you an inward peace of heart and mind. All right, let's go on. He said, actually what I came to bring is a sword. Now this one, some people read this and say, is Jesus advocating for violence? Let me be real clear. No. No. People have taken this and twisted it. Wars have been started in the name of this verse. People do terrible things in the name of Jesus, and they think they're justified. But I want you to know that he used the word sword because it's important that we understand the context of what was going on here. See, the word sword was used because a sword will pierce, it will divide, it will cut. That's what a sword does. Hebrews 4:12 explains this. For the word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. What he is saying is, when the word of God is shared, it will often pierce. It'll pierce your own soul. It hurts. It's wounding. Because let me just tell you, change hurts. A lifestyle change hurts. It pierces. It cuts. But the sword, his word, discerns, divides, and it's the difference between God's plan and my plan. Do you see there's a difference? There's a difference between God's plan and my plan, and the word of God, the sword, is what makes the distinction. He's talking about how the truth brings a sword of separation. If God's word is the truth, then how many believe that today? Sure. The sword, the word of God, is truth. And between you and the culture, truth. Right? Between you and the culture, truth. Between you and lies, truth. Between you and friends, truth. How many have experienced truth being shared and you had to take a stand and it cut somebody?
Yeah, absolutely.
It divided. Well, I didn't want to hurt them because you and sometimes even family have disagreements based on the truth of the word. See, the truth will bring division. Many have seen this. We've watched truth bring division. We've seen it separate us from friends, from family, from people on our work and our job. I want to go on with this exact point because it's really important. Matthew 10, verse 35, Jesus says, I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And I'm just telling you, on the front row, there's an example. Jesus came to divide these two if they're not going to allow the truth of the word of God to bring them into unity. See, I have come. Once again, he says it again, I have come here to earth to set a man against his father and daughter. Why would he do that? And he goes on to say in verse 36, your enemies will be right in your own household. Boy, this is an encouraging message. Pretty heavy stuff right here. Come on, it's pretty heavy stuff. We've lost relationships in our own families because of Jesus. And that's the sword he brought. It divides. You've lost people that were really close to you before you gave your heart and life to Jesus. Because of your Christianity, the word separated and it's brought division in our world. It's brought it in our communities, in our jobs, in our own families. So you have people compromise because they don't want division. See, here's what happens, and this is making this verse really come alive for you. You have people compromising or changing things just to keep the peace. Why? Because truth has become a sword. And if you do not stand on your convictions of God's word, you'll start to walk in compromise when you're around people who see the truth as a sword. We have Christians walking in compromise just to keep peace. I want to encourage you because he gave you some real answers here. Jesus said, I didn't come to bring peace. I didn't come to bring peace outwardly. I get it. We don't want to lose people, but the danger can be when you want peace so badly on the outside, you'll compromise your peace on the inside. If we're not careful, we can want peace around us so bad that we compromise the peace that God gave us in Jesus. Jesus knew we would be tempted to give in to compromise to get peace. He knew that. See, get this. In the name of love, we are doing so many things wrong. And in the name of love, prayerfully, God's people will be equipped to do things right. But we have to understand love. See, in the name of love, we're not talking about truth. In the name of love, we're forced to accept everyone's lifestyle and not tell them that it's against the word of God. In the name of truth, when love gets separated from truth, compromise happens. When love separates from truth, compromise happens. But aren't we supposed to bring the truth in love? Yes. Bring the truth in love. But bring the truth. So many people think they're going to leave the truth on the back burner so that they can just love, and that's not love when you don't have truth. When truth and love get separated, you compromise. And you just write it down. Jesus didn't bring the sword because he wanted you to lose your relationships and not have them anymore. That's not what he did. He just wanted you to be clear where your love was. He's saying, who really are you in love with? Who is first priority? Where's your allegiance? Christianity is built on love, and you need to know who has yours. You need to know. Matthew 10:37. So then he goes on and says, if you love your father or mother more than you love me, you're not worthy of being mine. Or if you love your son or daughter more than me, you're not worthy of being mine. He's saying some more really big stuff here. What greater love can you have than for your parents or children? I watch it all the time. Parents, I just don't want to hurt mom and dad. I just don't want to hurt mom and dad. I just don't want to hurt my kids. I just don't want to hurt my kids. I love them so much. If we're not careful, we'll elevate our love for family more than our love for Jesus. And we can actually love our kids or parents so much that we elevate them to a place that's driving our decisions, not our love for Jesus, but we elevated them above our love for Jesus. I'm getting real specific today. He's saying it flat out. You cannot love anyone or anything more than me. That's Jesus. You can't love anyone or anything more than me. Well, he wants me to love my kids. He wants me to love my spouse. He wants me to love my friends and my coworkers and my pastors and my leaders. He wants me to love people. Let me just tell you, you can't love anything or anyone more than him. Your spouse, your parents, your friends, your coworkers, your pastors, your leaders, celebrities, your sports team, your kids. You cannot love anyone or anything more than me, or what happens is they become an idol. And you're looking for them to give you direction in life instead of him. It's a strong statement. Some people love politics more than they love Jesus. Are you kidding me, Pastor? Why would you say that? Because that's all you watch. It's all you post. It's all you talk about. If the shoe ever fits here, go ahead and just put it on. I'm not trying to be a jerk or mean. I'm just trying to help people. And what happens is we don't put Jesus in first place, then we're going to compromise. And I don't want to compromise the word. See, some people love their kids more than they love Jesus. Their kids direct their life, not Jesus. They direct your schedule. They direct your priorities, not Jesus. You'll do anything in this world to please them, but you won't do anything in the world to please Jesus. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just, Jesus is trying to get us to see this, and so I'm trying to communicate it in a way that makes sense. See, some people love pastors and teachers more than they love Jesus. You let their words and opinions dictate your life instead of His. Instead of reading the Word yourself and listening to what He says, I'm not saying you shouldn't listen to pastors. God gave them. But I'm telling you that the Word of God has to drive your life. I'm asking you, as a pastor, don't let my words and opinions drive your life more than you hearing it directly from Him guide you. Even when my words line up exactly with His, don't hear it from me, hear it from Him. That's why we put the words on the screen. He said it. If you love anything more than me, you're not worthy of me. That's what Jesus said. It's strong, but when you love Jesus the most, you don't compromise for your kids, for your parents, for your kids, for your kids, for your friends, for your kids, for your politics. Are you hearing me? It's a big deal. Your love for Jesus should drive you to live and love the mission that you are called to all the time that you're here on earth. That's what it means to follow Jesus. Matthew 10, 38. Let's go on. If you refuse to take up your cross and follow me, you're not worthy of being mine. What in the world does this mean? You have to understand their culture. It made perfect sense to them when Jesus said this. Romans understood crucifixion. The cross was a picture of death. When a person was handed a cross to carry, there was not an option for that person whether or not they were going to carry it. There wasn't a choice to be made or a debate to be entered into of whether or not they should carry it or not. The cross was laid on you and you carried it. The public start of your journey to death was what a cross was. Now you may have already started the journey, but now everybody's seeing you carrying it. I want you to see this, it's important. If people saw someone carrying a cross, they knew it meant that person's gonna die. That's what they knew. The person had done something that they were now headed to death for, and they identified a cross with death. Now, Jesus had not even been crucified yet, but the culture knew a cross.
Yeah, wow.
Jesus is saying, if you don't pick up the weight of what I'm calling you to do and be willing to die to your old ways and make that known publicly, you're not worthy of me. Whew, it's getting deeper and deeper. Really, really. We should be seen daily as carrying a cross. It should be our identity. People see us and they say, well, I know where they're headed. They're not coming back this way. They're not doing it the way. They're dead. I know that they would say that if you had made a decision that was publicly identifying with Jesus over the world. And they'd know that you're carrying a cross. See, I don't believe people identify with the cross correctly. Yeah, they wear it as a necklace. They put it on the car. It's a decoration in a home. But we weren't there, and we don't see crucifixions on a daily basis now. We see the cross only as a trial or an inconvenience in our life. That's how we see it. Because we're so into the comfort and conveniences that there are crosses that just kind of come up and this is just my cross to bear. Have you ever heard that? Over nothing. I have to drive 30 minutes to church. That's just my cross to bear. I have to do this or I have to do that. I have to deal with my nephew. It's my cross to bear. That's not a cross. That's an inconvenience. And we are making things the cross, and we don't understand what the cross really is.
Yeah.
A cross is when you have to crucify something within you. When you have put to death your desires, your flesh, your way of living, and the decision that you would have made, And I'd say, I don't direct my life anymore. When you put to death addictions, you're picking up a cross. I'll never touch that again. When you put to death old life patterns of living life your way, you're picking up a cross and you're carrying that till the end. Oh, come on, do it. You used to do it all the time with us. Come on, come on, come on, let's do. No. I have a cross. It's a weight. And I died to that. And I'll carry it the rest of my life. I don't do that anymore. See, everyone here should have areas that you had to pick up the cross and say, it's not my will anymore, God, but it's yours be done. It's not my will, but it's yours. I want to live according to what you say. And everyone should have that. It's a weight to live holy in an unholy world. Are you hearing this today? Surrendering your life. We idolize comfort and convenience, and the cross puts to death comfort and convenience. Jesus is telling us what it truly means to be a disciple. You'll have trouble in this life, but the chaos of this world should not keep you from the peace that's offered in Jesus. We need to put to death what's in us. The Word will always make you aware of carrying His cross. So the more you're in the Word, the more you're like, oh, here we go. Here's some more weight that I have to carry. Oh, wait, it's not so burdensome that you can't handle it. Because you're not carrying the weight of sin and the snares and the junk that was weighing you down. The weight is just putting all that to death. Matthew 10:39. Jesus says, if you cling to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for me, you will find it. So many don't get this, but in order to find life, you have to lose it. To live, you have to die. Christianity sometimes just almost seems upside down. Well, read the Beatitudes. I mean, Matthew 5 and 6 talks a lot about this. The way we see it while living the mission of God is foolishness to the world. Who would walk to the front of a church and place in a basket or a seed pot, who would put 10, 12, 15% of their income? That's foolishness. That's just throwing money away. Oh, wait a minute here. God can do more with my 85% than he ever could, than I ever could with all 100. See, that's only said by someone who gets the principles of the Word of God. We don't live by the principles of the Word of God. Why? Because we haven't died and carried our cross. And there's a cross that ought to be carried every Sunday.
Yeah.
With the tithe and offering.
Yeah.
My money goes way further. Well, how in the world does that make any sense?
Yep.
You want me to explain it in the natural, something that's supernatural. It's above the natural. I'm living it according to what Jesus said, not my way of thinking. It's 1 Corinthians 1:18. The message of the cross is foolish to those who are headed for destruction. But we who are being saved, come on, church, that's us. We know it's the very power of God. It's a big deal. The message of the cross is foolishness to everyone else. Therefore, a sword will come in and it doesn't produce an outward peace. No one can see the carrying of the cross as the only way to live, but it's the only way to live.
Yeah.
Not my will, but yours. The cross provides the power of God for our life. It's not a comfortable life, but it's a life that brings solidity, boldness, and an inward peace. And let me tell you, it all comes at a cost. It costs you everything. It costs you everything, the way you used to think. But I got Jesus, and he's worth everything. He's worth it all. Your value is in him. Your salvation is in him. Come on, we are saved. And I get that you go, yeah, I gave my heart and life to Jesus. Did you? That's not for me to question. But my question is, are you carrying a cross?
Yeah.
It's a big question. When you carry your cross, others will see that you have chosen to die in certain areas. The Word starts guiding your decisions. And let me just tell you, when you make that decision, you'll see the sword of division and cutting and piercing show up in your life. Welcome to Christianity. Well, if you're looking at it only from an outward perspective, you're going to be sadly, sadly hurt because you were thinking that it would change everything on the outside. Yeah. But what I'm telling you is he came to change everything on the inside. And I have seen, by changing things on the inside and getting around some like-minded people, I see peace going outward. But we're wanting peace to go from out to in. But it goes from in to out. And as we enter the Christmas season, you're going to see a lot of outward expressions of Jesus being expressed by people that are heathens. Know this, just because you see something outward that is supposed to look good, well, it's comfortable, it's convenient. That's not Jesus. An inward peace of comfort is what he provides. And then we will see it outwardly. I think there's a big facade, and I love that even heathens celebrate the birth of Jesus. I love it. I love that Jesus is everywhere. But how sad it would be if Christianity, people that are hearing this message today and living what Jesus taught, compromised and don't share Jesus, they just share the outward expressions of symbols instead of the inward peace that he brings into your life. Everybody backs up when you walk in the room because you know that there's not going to be anything that they're going to... Whoa. Everybody backs up when you walk in the room. Why? Because I'm getting ready to condemn everybody. I'm not talking about condemning people. But I'm sure not talking about leaving your Christianity on the back burner. That's right. Yeah. See, you got to understand, when Jesus came, he did it publicly. He carried the cross publicly. We need to follow that exact example. The sword of separation, is it going to separate us away from him? Or is it going to separate us to him? That's the question today. My prayer is that today you're equipped to get ready for Christmas because of what Matthew 10 taught us. Yes, he didn't come to bring an outward peace, but he sure did to bring an inward peace. And he is the Prince of Peace for your heart and your mind. And know this, when you live that outwardly, there will at times be frustration. But it won't affect you because you're so full of him. Right. You're living by his word. And the blessings of God are on you because they are in you. Amen. Does that make sense? I hope you've got something out of the word today. Y'all stand.
Thank you for being a part of our podcast today. You will find more online messages from Christian Ministries Church, as well as location information on our website at cmchurch.net. There is a place for you at Christian Ministries Church, where it's more than a church, it's family.